Welcome to Pod Watcher, the official podcast of Watcher Entertainment. I'm Ryan Bergara.
I'm Shane Madej.
And I'm Stephen Lim.
And this is a show where we chat about whatever's on our minds every week. And this week we dive into Ghost Files Starting Shooting.
A conversation I heard over the weekend.
Okay.
And one thing that I cannot live without.
Whoa, these are really juicy little teases.
Fun. Well, I changed my wording when I heard you guys talk, so I was like, I'm going to make it a little more interesting.
Far from no
sexy.
Yeah,
it's a sexy episode. For those of you watching the video over on youtube.com/watcherpodcasts, it's a bloop episode. We're blue this week. We're all wearing blue.
That's correct.
Don't blue it.
Completely accidental. Steven, head to toe blue.
Yes.
I got also blue pants. Well, I do have green socks.
And also, if you're watching over on youtube.com/watcherpodcast, why don't you go ahead and give us a little like and subscribe.
Give it a subscribe.
Or if you're listening, hey, I know you can't see the bloopisode, but maybe you could imagine what the bloopisode would look like. And if you're listening, please rate and subscribe to the podcast.
Give it a review. These boys sure are blue.
That's right.
You know?
Bluer than the Blue Man Group.
Yeah.
Blue Man.
Blue Man.
Yeah.
Okay. How you guys doing? Are you ready to talk topics? Do we need to catch up? No, we got a lot to talk about.
No, we have a lot to talk about.
I want to go first.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'll be fun.
Mainly because I want to hear, I want us to ramp up into Ryan's one at the end.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, I am excited to talk about Ghost Files.
But yeah, the one thing I can't live without, and I'll start this with a little question. What is one thing that you guys can't live without?
All right. I know my answer immediately. Burt's Bees.
Burt's Bees. You've talked about this extensively.
I buy them. I'm actually in a period right now where they're starting to ebb a bit, and I'm running out of my precious tubes, and I need to buy dozens. I buy them by the dozens.
I just can't. With Burt's Bees, I always lose them.
Well, that's okay. So that was my issue as well, and my lips depend on them. I need them. And
don't say your lips depend on
my lips do.
How soft are your lips?
Very, very soft.
Really? Are you being serious?
They're very soft.
They look soft.
I'm going to start saying, I'm going to keep that a running bit. Can I sample?
What I did, though, at a certain point was, and I recommend this to all people, if you're a chapstick person, flood your life with Burt's Bees. And this can be a problem because, as Ryan and I were talking about this past week, you got to be very, very vigilant about your pockets.
And I'm not. And
because
they,
if you toss them in, they're okay in the washing machine. They'll just get a little wet.
No, once
you get to that dryer,
bloop,
they're going to melt like a candle. And sometimes the wax stays in the tube, but other times you're going to get a little wax.
And it gets all over your jeans. I've run AirPods through the washing machine. And it's fucking tragic.
They survive.
They worked. Mine survived one wash. But apparently Frank.
But not six.
No, I know that. I never did it again. But Frank said he did it in two times. The second time, it ruined his
days. Oh, so you got one life left on yours.
I think so. I think that's what it is. You get one pass. Apple's like, we'll spot you this one pass. If you do it again, you're going to have to buy new ones.
But yeah, the trick is to flood your life with them. And then they're in like every jacket that you own. They end up on my desk at work. They're at my desk at home. They're in our coffee table at home.
You have one here?
Away.
You have one
here? I have one in my pocket right now because we're actually...
Prove it.
Shane is digging in his pocket and pulling out a Burt's Bees.
Wow. Can I see the flavor?
Yeah, I only ever do...
Oh, you don't do anything special?
No.
I want to see how much you've used on this one.
I mean, don't like...
I'm not going to use it. Oh, okay. Wow, you're quite a...
Well, yeah, I don't know how recent this is. I don't know how much we're working with here. Well, I go through a lot of.
You're pretty even with the usage, though. Like you're not like on one. Mine are like slanted.
No, you got to even apply even pressure.
But the fun thing about flooding your life with them is that every now and then, like they move like a herd, you know. Yeah. And every now and then I'll be wearing like a jacket out or something. And Sarah will be like, do you have a chapstick? And I'll like reach in my various pockets. I'll be like, I got five. You know? So that's fun. But yeah, I found out that on the Burt's Bees website, you can do a bulk order of like 10 to 50 to 100. It gets more costly.
100.
But the thing is, you can customize them.
You're getting cut into
so
this?
It could say on the label, Shane's Bees.
No way.
Or Steven's Bees, or Ryan's Bees, or Matt's Bees. That's pretty fun.
You're in the pocket of Big Bees, dude.
No, not yet. Big Bees in my pocket.
No, I mean, lots of bees in your pocket.
Little bees in my pocket.
You know what I flood my life with is floss.
That's nice.
Yeah, I'll have like a floss on my desk, a floss in my car, a floss. Because like after
a
meal.
Do you use the little like pick ones?
The pick ones. But yeah. Then for the one in the car, I just have the string one.
Nice.
Do you use the pick ones at night? Because I use the pick ones.
At night I do, yeah. When you but say- then I've noticed that I get lazier with the pick ones.
Yeah.
I'm not really going as deep because I'm just like, oh, blah, blah, blah.
Well, and also you're using the same little bit of string, which isn't always great because like the
yes.
appeal of, or I think the purpose of floss is like you do a little bit and then you move down the string so you're not yeah. getting like those bacteria back in there.
Oh,
I'm not a dentist.
I always rinse it. I rinse it off now. I rinse it off in between.
No, but
you rinse off
weaker.
Your floss?
You have three teats. Like, it, like
three teats?
Three teats. Three teats. You know, because that's a plural. I use the little pick, and then if there's like
oh
food
it's
on
a pick
there,
okay yeah,
yeah then
yeah.
you
wait
you rinse put the water
it's
on.
A it's just a oh it's a water pick
no like they, you know when you have like the floss it's like
it's
on
got
it,
like a little bow and arrow
yeah so you're using that one but yeah. you're using the other side which is the pick side
no I don't use the pick side
oh, okay
I use the
string side of the pick
I use the string side and in between and like if it has something on it obviously I'll put it running under the water get that out of there I don't want to like insert more kernels.
Which is new for you. I remember a time when you didn't floss.
I didn't floss.
We shamed you to floss.
You should consider hopping to regular floss. Oh, and I only say this because there's a lot of plastic waste. I'm not judging.
That's fair. There's a lot of plastic waste.
I just like to remind people here and there where you can cut down on that stuff. Yeah.
Well, you're buying 100 tubes of Burt's Bees. That's a lot of plastic waste.
He said he's not judging
me.
You.
Unbelievable. You know, you could buy these in bulk. You print your name on them. 1,000. Flood your life with them. You know, that's a lot of plastic waste, Ryan.
You know what?
You got me.
I said I wasn't judging.
And to be fair.
And I expect the same from you.
To be fair, the difference is that you can't buy like a giant
sure,
Burt's
sure.
Bees.
I wonder
like,
if there's
can.
Like a, you can buy them. Actually, the thing I should do is they do sell like little tins.
Oh, tins. And
I think
you should get a Burt's Bees that's a chode just this thick and you could just kind of like,
well, I think I've told you this
like
before.
Like a candle.
I was at a hot chip show once and there were these annoying girls that got in front of me and Sarah at the show. We were like at the front and they just weaseled their way in. We
hate that.
Fucking, and I hated them. But they did something that was very funny is one of them took out one of those like little pucks of Burt's Bees.
Yeah.
And she just went.
Yeah, dude.
And
just,
like, I just.
What?
Like she was connecting to a spaceship.
The docking scene in Interstellar.
No time for caution.
And I was like, that's a very funny way to apply that. So I'm going to forgive them for.
Well, to be fair, I would forgive somebody for moving in front of you at a concert. For obvious
reasons.
But
I was in the front. And I'd been there since before the show started.
That's
so
true.
And in my defense, I generally hang back at concerts and I'm very mindful of who's behind me. But so if at one out of every 30 shows, I'm like, I want to be closer up for this, then people
That's
can
fair.
Suffer.
It's fair.
Ryan, what's your one thing?
What's your one thing?
Other than like my family and friends, I suppose, I guess.
Well, of course.
They're not things, though.
Yeah. Boo.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, I got to say it.
We got it. You love your wife.
You got to say it.
Wife guy over here.
I was talking about Vinny, baby. let's see. It's tough. If I had to narrow it down to one.
Beanie?
No. Beanie. It'd probably be. Oh, God, it would be really hard for me to give up popcorn. It would be so hard.
I guess I didn't think about food.
It'd be really tough. I mean, I've thought about it just because of, like, it's not the healthiest, but I can't get rid of it. Okay. Either that or...
Go non-food as well, because food, I feel like that's a different arena, so none of your answers have been acceptable. And let's go non-food here.
Maybe...
EDC.
Maybe watching sports.
Watching sports. These are like, all no good.
That's an activity.
Wait, it'd be hard.
I guess
was
so.
The question like your essentials?
I was
like
picturing
if
like everyday care.
Yeah, everyday.
Oh, you said one thing I can't live without.
I guess.
Well, you can interpret it however you want.
Laker basketball would be tough to live without.
Okay.
That'd be very tough.
It's when
you've gone a few years without them because they've been pretty.
I mean,
they have been non-existent.
But he's still watching.
I watch.
You know, they're there.
That's true. That's true. I mean, they might as well not be existent.
Let me think of a thing.
Ryan likes the full range of emotions. Exactly.
Like if you're doing the thing on the YouTube, where it's like
10 things I can't live without.
Yeah.
Let me think.
Which is an episode that I do want to do with y'all.
Oh man, let's see what is
this? Is a little preview.
The number one thing I'm trying to think of something I actually use every day. Oh my god. Yeah, burpees is good because you do use that every day.
I've something sort of trivial, you know, yeah. Like car, you know, I need car, you know, shoe, I need shoe, you know.
I mean, obviously the number one thing would be your iPhone, but. iPhone.
Okay. That's nobody can live without their iPhone.
I, you know, like I mean, you could.
I could have said it's very difficult. Know, pencil or.
Yeah.
Let me think.
What do you have to think of something like little.
This actually goes into
why
something.
Is this I like hard for you,
well,
right?
Because the thing is, I always marvel at people in those videos, or like, especially here's everything I do in a day.
Yeah.
Because one of my big
they
things
so much.
Is it's impossible for me to stick to any type of routine.
Yeah, no.
And it's really
you're
a problem.
You're just white knuckling it.
I am.
Day of your life.
It's fucking. I was like, if I could get a routine, then I won't have to have all these decisions.
Yeah.
But what happens is I'll get into a routine for like a good month. I'll be working out. I'll be meditating, journaling. I'll be going to bed at a reasonable time, eating well. And then, inevitably, something will happen. Like, for instance, recently I pulled my lat when I was working out. And what happens is when one leg of the routine goes, the entire thing topples over. It's like, I guess I won't eat well.
Who's your lat?
I can't meditate and journal. I guess I will just stay up till 2 a.m. and watch bullshit on my phone. So, like, and then I'll feel bad, and I'll do that for about a month. And then I'll feel bad, and I'll be like, oh, fuck, I got to get back into it. So I'll get back in the routine for a month. And the cycle just repeats over and over.
I can see
again.
Why you cried in Making Watcher in 2021.
Yeah, and now to ask like what's something I use every day, I was like, fuck, I wish there was something. Jeans? I don't know.
All right, I'll just give my answer.
I think all of your answers have built
toothbrush?
Up to a quality picture. Yeah. Of
it seems like you can't live without stress. Yeah.
You're going to show up to the set of that one show. What is this? Who is the one that does that? The damn things I can't live without. It's like GQ or something.
Yeah.
I think it is.
And then you'll be bringing like your toothbrush.
I would
your
be.
Freaking.
I would. I bring my toothbrush.
You're Steve Martin and the Jerk. I need this.
I bring my pair of underwear.
And it's all.
You know what? Uniqlo underwear, pretty sweet.
Okay, that's a good answer.
You know what? The other thing that Sarah always makes fun of me for is this belt that I have.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think I bought it in 2008.
Yeah.
At Martin and Osa, which is a store that has since. It was a chain. They've gone asunder. I've worn this belt almost every day since 2008.
That belt
is
like my body pillow.
Hey, oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh, you just identified it for me.
It's a pillow?
Beautiful pillow.
Oh. Pillow. Okay.
I forgot about that.
Because you spent a lot of time researching.
I bought and returned 9 different pillows before I found this one.
All right. We got to have an episode without
that. All right. Here's my
sleep talk for the love of God.
Pillows and pajamas.
I love my pillow.
What's your thing, Steve?
Well, I mean, you probably know what my thing
is. It's a great topic.
Guess what it is?
Matcha.
Matcha. And nice. I recently bought a...
I thought specifically the little stir.
I recently bought a matcha
into the
machine.
Microphone, please.
I recently bought a matcha machine. The brand is called Cuzen. Cuzen.
So does it like whip it for you?
It's incredible.
Wait, I have their water filter. My under the sink water
filter. It's
probably
a different brand.
Not sponsored.
I doubt it. You said
Cuzen.
Yeah, that's the name of the brand.
No, I don't think.
How is that possible? There'd be another thing named Cuzen.
Cuzen. Cuzen is a very, all they do is matcha, which is, it might be a different Cuzen.
Nice try.
Interesting.
No, I'll explain why I'm saying this.
Probably the same
thing.
So my favorite restaurant in the Mission District in the Bay Area was Stone Mill Matcha.
Yeah.
And the person who founded that restaurant opened this company called Cuzen Matcha, where they basically provide high quality matcha for the consumer. And what happens is you have this machine and inside is a mill in the machine and you buy fresh leaves from them. And the machine will mill the matcha for you.
Whoa.
And then
by mill, you're putting in the leaves and it basically powderizes it.
Exactly. And then it falls into a cup that's stirring the matcha at the bottom for you.
So this is about as fresh as you can get. Similar to how they say, like, you should grind coffee beans if you're a connoisseur, which I don't care about this. You grind them like as closely to when you're brewing as you can.
Exactly. And I make it every morning. I've made it every morning for the past few months.
Have you noticed a difference?
It's so delicious.
Yeah.
And it also saves me so much time because I'll just wake up, click the button, and then I'll just walk away.
So you're not stirring?
Yeah, I use a stir like 5-10 minutes a day
like
per
a
cup.
And, pestle.
And it was just so
annoying.
Have
those little wooden whisks.
The wooden whisks. And then also the they have like matcha electronic whisks, but those are not as good. They all suck. So really, this machine has solved all my problems with time, and it's like the most delicious thing. And I'm saying this here on this podcast because, and I don't think it's the same company, because I worry that if they go out of business, I am not going to have this product anymore in my life. And I'm going to go
buy a backup one.
Yeah.
I should, right? But then they also, they're so smart. They only accept, like, the machine only uses the leaves that they have at that they have, because it's a certain moisture that has to, of the leaves that has to go inside the mill.
Yeah.
So it's all like, you know, like an iPhone, whatever, the little
that
universe.
That reminds me of, it's probably, this is not even anywhere close to that, but do you remember that, like, juicing machine that came out? Like,
which one?
It was like a startup.
What are you talking about?
And it was like so this expensive juicing machine.
Juicero?
Juicero.
Yeah.
And it was like for people on the go, and it made it seem like it was this like incredibly complex process. But the machine was, in fact, you would buy these pouches, and literally you put the pouch in the machine and the machine would just squeeze the pouch out.
What the fuck?
And someone like opened it up and they were like, yeah, but there, you know, it's very important. It's a very important process. And there's a real difference in it's very funny. There's a very funny like video that debunked it and was like, this product is insane.
Yeah, I got to check that out.
Juicero.
Oh, interesting. The founder of Juicero is launched a new
prison
company called Cuisin Matcha.
That's pretty good.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Is it a pretty bulky machine?
It's about the size of like a Nespresso machine.
Oh, because I was going to say, small. I'd love to try some if you can ever bring it into the office, but I don't want to make you haul it.
It's pretty small. I'll bring it in. Maybe I'll get one for the office. The only thing is it's more expensive.
Get one for the office. That's your backup.
That's my backup.
And then if, you know.
The problem is these leaves are expensive. So each cup of matcha will cost me about $1.
I'll Venmo you.
Which is not bad.
This is like training for your cafe.
Yeah, compared to like what you would pay at like a place.
A cafe, you'd buy it for like $6. So it is like way cheaper, but it's more expensive than if you just buy powder.
Wow.
That's normal, though. It's like getting beaten. Anyway, I can't live without this machine, but I'm scared. I'm scared because I don't know how well they're doing.
What do you generally mix it with? Like milk?
This is oat milk. Sometimes I do water. Sometimes I just do it straight, but mostly oat milk.
Okay. Interesting.
Nice.
Wow. Well, I'm fascinated. I'd love to try some if you ever want to bring it in.
I'll bring it in.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll bring it for one of the next episodes.
Ryan and I are both, we love our little coffee machines that we have.
I do.
Do you make decaf at home with your coffee machine?
Yeah, I have just like little decaf pods.
Yeah.
It's good. Nice.
I'm crazy. We actually own an espresso machine.
I don't do espresso.
We have every kind of coffee you could make at our
home.
That's
wonderful.
It's just, I don't
know.
It
seems fun to have an espresso machine, though, where you like make the little puck and you're like, you know, pulling all those levers. And,
well, you come from the lever land.
I come from the levers, yeah.
It's kind of complicated,
the land of the levers.
Right?
You were born.
How did you guys do? This is one thing about espresso machines. You have to like measure, you know, the how finely you're grinding the beans, right, and stuff like that. Like, how do? That's such a. It's so hard to nail it.
I mean, usually the machines, your grinder just has a setting.
But like the settings are
grinder,
all.
Well, your whatever grinder you have, you can look up the. It'll be like. Go numbers 0 to blank for, you know, it says like what you're grinding. So if you're doing like a drip filter, you'll probably want to do, you know.
I don't know. I just couldn't nail it. It just didn't taste right.
Huh. Well, I kind of want a cup of coffee now.
That sounds nice, doesn't it?
Oh. Caffeine.
I could only do decaf because of my stupid body.
I had some big, big coffee woes. There was a lot of disquiet at our, a lot of unrest in our household because we used to have a beautiful, beautiful coffee machine.
The Barista Brain?
The Barista Brain.
Nice.
Great name for a coffee machine.
Fucking
but
great.
You could set the
Very
timer
smart.
On it.
Smart
you,
purchase.
You could set the timer on it.
Oh, I remember you talking about this.
So I would set the timer to like a half hour before I got up, 15 minutes before I got up, so I could wake up in the morning to the smell of coffee, which is just unreal.
It's
That's
pretty good.
How people should live. You should see if you could do that on your...
You can't.
You're like Michael Scott with the bacon.
Program it, but.
And then for our wedding registry, Sarah wanted to level up to a machine called the Mocha Master, which someone very
not
kindly
smart.
Bought for
it's
us.
Not smart. Like the
and it
brain.
Is a beautiful, beautiful coffee machine. But then when we got it, I was like, oh, there's no timer setting on this, huh? And she was like, nope. But in her defense... It is a better brew because it uses paper filters, and those are, you know, those generally taste better.
You could use paper filters on the Barista Brain.
Yeah, you can. But we had the reusable one.
Yeah.
But what I found out recently is that you can just get a timed plug, set it to on, and then you can, because the plug, you get like a smart plug
that
connects to whatever amps you are. So this week, I bought the plug, I plugged it in, I got the coffee all ready the night before, and I turned it on, and then the next morning, I was like in bed, and I was like, this is it. And I took a dig, I was like, now that's how you wake up. And I was like, this is finally what I've been waiting for. And then Sarah got out of bed like a minute or two before me, and she was like, oh, the coffee didn't brew. And I was like, no, I think it did. And she was like, no, there's no coffee here. So I clearly just placebo myself into thinking. I was like, finally, a good wake up.
Why did you think turning on the power to the machine would automatically start it?
It
should. Is there a remote?
Wait, what?
Well, when you turn on a coffee machine, you still have to press brew, usually.
Well, no, there's a little switch. So you could switch it to brew, and if it's plugged in, once the power turns on, it'll start brewing.
Interesting.
And people, I looked it up. People have done this with this machine, and it is supposed to work. My settings were just...
That's crazy that you have to work around that much just to get an auto setting.
You know what, though? It's going to be worth it.
So it hasn't worked yet, but it's going to work.
Yeah, I haven't figured it out.
Well, update us in the next episode.
We left for ghost hunting, so I didn't have time to...
That's fair.
...fiddle with it. Speaking of ghost hunting...
Well, should we do one?
Oh, yeah, let's save it till the end. Anything else to say?
No, that's it. Fun topic, yeah.
I want to try that matcha. Now. My topic isn't very robust. I just, you know, here's the thing. I was out this weekend.
Yeah.
And I was at a bar. I was in line for the bathroom. I just was witness to a beautiful conversation that I enjoyed so much that, I got into the bathroom, locked the door behind me, and I just started typing out everything I could remember
like
from
the conversation.
Like a stenographer. Oh. Yeah. Cause I was like, this is very funny. And I think this more just speaks to, I don't have a lot of these off the top of my dome, but it happens often where you'll be in public or something and you'll just hear someone talking and you're like, this is just a sublime little slice of life right here.
This is the second conversation you've recorded in the past week. You're like a forensic conversationalist.
What's the other one?
On the plane, you saw that lady talking about apes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not the films, but actual apes.
No, that was a woman in front of me on the plane.
To be clear, you're not recording audio of people talking.
No, I'm not recording audio. Just wanted to make sure I read it out.
That's true.
The one that comes to mind, and I'll talk about the apes person too, is a while ago, Sarah and I were in Venice, kind of over by Abbot Kinney.
Nice.
Yeah, this is a place in LA. It's a little
walk and talk,
snooty
spot.
Little surfy neighborhood. Yeah, they got good. A lot of like shops and stuff. And we were sitting on the curb, I think, like eating ice cream or drinking coffee.
Ooh,
or something.
Were you eating Solenstra?
I don't think so. No, I can't remember what it was. Maybe I got a little treat from a coffee house or something. I don't know. And there was a woman walking by on her phone who looked, I don't know, late 20s, I don't know.
Yeah.
And she had her phone up to her, and she was clearly talking to like a party planner or something.
Yeah.
And and there's going to be a beat of silence as I deliver this, so just hold for it. And we just heard her say, I don't care. It's my birthday. Make it so. Make it so. And
did
I thought
she hung up. After that, did she hang up?
She may have. I don't know. I just was like, this is cartoonish.
That's crazy.
It's incredible.
It's like Devil Wears Prada.
And then, yes, a few days ago when we were on the plane returning from our...
She was just talking to her friend, I think.
I think it was her family.
Nah, so that's what, you know, those people who take that, like, it's my birthday.
Oh, that woman?
Yeah. That is the thing with some people where they'll be like, I have three it's my birthdays. You have to do what I say.
It's crazy.
You know what I'm talking about, Steven?
Yeah.
The thing that happened on the plane was we were... What occurred? We were landing. There was a woman in front of me on the plane who was a little older.
Yeah.
Like clearly, like, you know, she's got grown kids or something.
Yeah.
And she had her phone held very high up, and I saw the conversation, and the message that I saw was so scary. And then below that was just all this word salad, and the only thing I could really clock at a glance was like a lot about gorillas and apes. So I just started transcribing as much of it as I could.
Yeah.
And it was just this whole thing. Here's the notes that I took. Gorilla had a C-section. First gorilla to ever have a C-section. Something about an OBGYN who delivers human babies helped assist the anesthesiologist. And then something about how gorillas like to play dead because they're very smart. And then The only part that I copied verbatim was, I love, this was the last sentence of the message. I love them and want to raise baby Jamila myself.
Good for her.
Baby Jamila, I assume, is a little gorilla.
But why is it scary?
I don't know.
I think it's because it was like an, it sounds like it was an emergency C-section.
Yeah, they had to do an emergency C-section. Okay. You know?
Why was there a human OBGYN?
Maybe
there?
Maybe that's
because they never had to do that with gorillas before.
Maybe, yeah, maybe that's
so there's nobody to do that.
Maybe
there's,
it was scary
it doesn't exist.
For the OBGYN.
Yeah, well, because he's like, fuck, I'm about to.
He's like, hold hey, we need your help.
The last thing I want to do near a gorilla is hold its baby, and I have to pull it out of the gorilla.
Oh, yeah.
And then the gorilla is going to be like, why are you doing holding my baby?
And like, I like helping. Your gorilla foots. Why are you doing?
Yeah. Hey, bitch. That's my baby. Gorilla smash now. Rip off pee-pee.
Wow, can you imagine putting a gorilla under anesthesia?
Well,
that's got to be tough.
Shane was talking about this in Ape Chat. We were because our little group chat of Ape Chat. Shane and his pals from home.
We have an Ape Chat group text that we discuss these kind of things.
How do you know how much to put in them? Because it could be too much, too little. You don't know how they're going to react.
I think anesthesiologists pretty much have it figured out. They know about humans, but it's not like they're asking humans, like, how much anesthesia do you need?
But they've already figured that out. Whereas, like, with gorillas, they haven't.
It can't be hard. You figure out how big they are. How much blood they got?
Oh, dude, you gotta have a big ass needle for a gorilla, I bet.
I bet, yeah.
Fucking big ass, like a comically large.
Absolutely.
Just syringe.
Yeah.
Gorilla won't even feel it.
It's gonna be scary. Gorilla would probably get so mad.
Dude, so scary. That's what she was saying. So
yeah,
scary.
She was like, damn.
Do you think they initially give it like a banana with a little sleeping pill in it?
Yo, what the fuck?
Well, they got
it. I mean, you ever bring an animal to the vet? That's the things that they do.
Get a little cheese.
Yeah. Do gorillas actually like realistically love bananas as much as they're portrayed to
in
cartoons?
I've seen a gorilla eat a banana.
I'm sure you've seen it, but are like they actively like.
Dunstan checks in.
Yeah. Actively seeking.
He's a chimpanzee. I apologize.
Because Donkey Kong.
Oh, Matt's looking very surprised. You seen a gorilla eating banana?
No, it said that they don't encounter bananas in the wild.
I bet fucking knew it, dude.
What about DK?
Wait, no, but.
Well, DK's throwing bananas behind his go-kart.
Hold on. When I would visit my grandparents in Malaysia, there were monkeys everywhere.
No, gorillas.
Gorillas. Okay,
monkey love a banana.
Which is what
monkey
DK is.
Yeah.
And DK does use bananas
Donkey
purely
Kong?
As a weapon.
Or,
yeah.
Oh, you're talking about
he has
the
like
video
a banana
game.
Gun. He throws it behind his cart. And
he's
Mario
not
kart.
Eating them at all.
He's not even eating
them.
He's just
them away.
He's using them as like a weapon or more bait. Hmm.
Well, I was in line for the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I was there with Sarah and some friends. And there were several of us waiting, and then they went. There were three bathrooms all occupied. They opened up. It was kind of a long line. We were sitting there for a bit. They went into some bathrooms. So I'm the only person from our group now standing outside. And next to me is an older woman who kind of had like Liza Minnelli vibes.
Nice.
And then next to her is a guy who kind of reminded me of like Tan France from Queer Eye.
This is quite the ensemble.
And I was like, I don't know if these two are related.
Yeah.
The way they spoke to each other was very, I was like, I don't know if they're acquainted with each other or they don't know each other at all. But this was what happened. So the people in front of me go into the bathrooms, and then the woman next to me said, are you waiting for that room? Referring to the room that Sarah had just went into.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm waiting for any of these rooms. It's a line for the bathrooms.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh. And then the man next to her said, which room are you waiting for? And I was like, I'm waiting for any of them. You know, I was like, why are you asking me this question? You understand how these work. Okay. So then there's like a little beat of silence and some time passes. And then the woman says to the man staring at the wall opposite us, it's very dark in there. It's very loud. And she said, that's a beautiful shade. What color do you think that is? And he looked at the wall and he said, I'm not sure. And then she said, I'm going to take a picture of it.
Yeah.
And she took out her camera and took a picture in this dark hallway of this wall. And then he said, I think it's forest green. And then she said, no, it's more sophisticated than that. And I'm loving this.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit drunk And I'm just like,
that scans.
So then she said, no, it's more sophisticated than that. And then he just rolled over and said, you're right. And then there was like a little more. I was just waiting there and I knew I was going to be going into the bathroom soon. And I was just praying. I was like, I really, really hope that before I go to the bathroom, this conversation continues and he tries to think of a color that's more sophisticated than forest green.
Yeah.
And then he leaned over to her and he like said something to her and she said, yes, very tropical. And I was like, he told her the color green,
the shade of green. I need to figure
out. So then the bathroom opened up and I walked over to the bathroom, but I think because I was feeling a little loosey goosey, I just went over to him and I was like, excuse me, what color green did you say that wall was? And he said to me, oh, I figured out that it's jungle green.
What the fuck?
And I said, thank you. And then I got into the bathroom and I just feverishly typed out the whole conversation.
Have you looked up a picture of jungle green?
No. It was just a green. It was dark. You
Wait, did you take a photo of the wall?
No, I didn't.
Oh. I did not take a photo of the wall.
It was dark. You couldn't tell. It was no, it was it was it was no green. It was probably gray. You couldn't tell what color it was at all.
I need to see this wall. What bar was this at?
I forgot the name of it. It's in Eagle Rock. I'll look it up.
What do you...
It was the second bar I went to in the night. You know, it was like, we were like, let's go to this one. I'd been there before, but I was only outside. Just beautiful. Just a fascinating conversation. I love just shutting down Forest Green as like, that's not sophisticated enough. And then him being like, she's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old were these two folks?
I think she was about 50 to 60.
Okay, that's what
and
I was
he
imagining.
Looked 25 to 30.
Hmm. Oh.
It was a wonderful pairing of humans.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What's the vibe of the bar like?
Dark.
Okay.
It's a vampire bar. No, it's like a, you know, they got a lot of outside picnic tables and stuff, but the inside's kind of fancy. They got little like candelabras on the walls.
I was just talking to my friends about this. I don't go out to bars anymore and in my hometown. Like in LA, when I'm home, I don't go to bars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But when we go visit a city, we go out to bars.
Yeah,
and stuff
sure.
Like that.
Yeah, it's pretty rare for me, though.
I want to start. It's fun.
Every now and then, yeah.
It's fun to go to a little cool bar. LA's got some cool bars.
We ended up having a real rollicking Saturday in a way that we haven't in a very long time.
Where was the first place you went?
I don't want to reveal because it's my new, I'll tell you off
the new
mic.
Spot.
Is it in Eagle Rock?
No.
Oh.
See, this is why I love Tara's house, though, because that was like this kind of conversation
yeah.
was being documented all across that show. Like yeah. just the most mundane but interesting stories that you could hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I don't know why that made me think of Korean barbecue.
What? Tara's house?
Yeah, it's a Japanese show. Makes no sense at all. But I think it's because I thought of one of their dates and I think they went to a Korean barbecue.
Oh. Place.
I like that is I thought you were going to say one of the other joys of Terrace House is just seeing all the little bars and restaurants they go to.
Oh, that too. Yeah. Well, that's like the food is actually and people don't know Terrace House is a food show.
All the fucking food that they that make on that show when they're like we're going to make a little dinner and then it's the most incredible looking thing you've ever seen.
We've talked about this. We've always wanted to put together a Terrace House type show at Watcher.
Yeah. That'd be sick.
Watcher House of Watcher
where nothing happens.
That would be nice.
It'd really be something.
Shaniac's called that Ghost Files.
Speaking of,
nailed it.
That's all I got to say about that. I just wanted to get that conversation out into the world.
It's good.
Yeah.
I wonder the name of that bar.
Jungle Green.
Yeah. I mean, we just got back as of the time of this recording from a trip to record an episode of Ghost Files. I don't know where it's going to fall in the season. That's the thing with Ghost Files is sometimes we'll shoot, let's say, six episodes in a row, and they will come out in that order. And sometimes they won't, and that sometimes is how many times can I say sometimes? That is dependent on if we
the
have
the zazzle.
It could be that, or if we have an agreement, perhaps with a brand that's sure, like if it's a sure. sponsored app, it needs to come out on this date. But if we are in a great space where we can actually choose the order ourselves, we will sometimes kind of mix up the order based on you know what happened or didn't happen at places. And I have to say, this episode, I Shane and I were talking about it. It's fucking crazy.
It's a bonkers.
It is a crazy episode. It's I don't think this is hyperbole or exaggeration. I think more things happened at this place than all of last season combined.
Quite possibly, yeah.
Well, yeah, not much happened last season.
I'm trying to think of other
places that were this
crazy.
Has
an episode ever had this much stuff happen?
Yeah, because typically when it comes to paranormal investigation, and anybody who's done it themselves will agree with this, at least if they're doing it honestly, that most things in paranormal investigation that you find evidence, you'll find it after the fact. If you're combing through your static cams or all your audio recorders and your footage, you'll find it later, because it's kind of like a forensic investigation at that point. But for things to happen like live on location and everyone hears, everyone sees it, that is incredibly rare.
It's like, thrill.
Whoa, wait. Okay, so just back up here. You're telling me that you guys captured some evidence in the field and you witnessed it.
Well, I mean, I'll say this. I go into these hoping for this.
Yes.
Because I want the show to be fun and exciting for both people. The Shaniacs are not heading into this thing being like, they're going to catch a ghost, you know?
Right.
There's not anything that happened there that I couldn't do my usual little song and dance around.
Yeah,
and just be like, well, I don't think that's a ghost.
And also to spare Shane here, that's kind of the whole purpose of the show. That's when the show works at its best. I was talking to our sound guy, Ben, about this, where when the show is firing on all cylinders, it's when an event happens, mm-hmm. and then Shane is able to analyze it through his perspective and try and debunk it, and I'm able to analyze it through my perspective and try and explain why I think this is compelling. When there's nothing that happens, we have to rely on just the story itself and then just kind of having a good time, which is
vibes.
Fine. Which is like, we are afforded that rare opportunity because, you know, that is somewhat built into the show's framework itself. Obviously, you want to have episodes where things happen, but you can't control that, and we never try and manufacture that.
Mm.
So when we get the rare opportunity where something happens on location, amazing. When we get the incredibly rare opportunity where multiple things happen, that's where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened in this case. And it rode right into my solo investigation. And I have to say, it's got to be up there in most scared.
It's pretty bonkers. There's a lot of stuff that happens.
Give me a slice, because I wasn't there.
I don't want to spoil any of it.
Okay, well, let's put it this way. I'll give an example. So this is how rare it is to have something.
Whoa, this is crazy. Ryan is like, you're like, I can see you. You're like, so excited to talk about this.
I'm pretty stoked. I can't wait for people to see this episode. Obviously, they're going to have to wait quite some time. But I mean,
a lot of times when we walk away from an episode, and this is, you know, not a reflection of our incredible post team and production team, it's tough to get good stuff at these places. So a lot of times when we walk out, we're like, you know, okay, well, this happened.
Right.
Or other times we're just like, oh, this could be a tough one to really cobble together.
Well, also, like, we are operating in a medium where, like, yes, we are hunting ghosts, but we're also having a little fun and trying to make each other laugh. There's no audience we're playing to. So we don't know if, frankly, okay, first off, just put started here. Shane and I don't think we are putting out comic gold into the world.
No.
So we will often walk away from an episode being like, oof, that's going to be a tough one to watch.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes I feel like it is the case. But we don't have any live feedback beyond that as well. Like, we don't have like people to laugh or not laugh. So we don't know how the episode is essentially going. We're just kind of being ourselves and hoping for the best. But in the rare opportunity where you do have things happen that go beyond just our little waka-waka routine, it is pretty insane. And I could recall a couple of them in the past, just to show you how rare it is. So some that stand out. When we did BuzzFeed Unsolved, there was the Sorrel Weed House in Savannah, Georgia. That's where I saw my first, I guess, ghost, full-bodied apparition.
Didn't record it?
No, that was the one where Shane... Shane, we have our little body cams.
Oh, right. GoPros, you're blocking it.
And every camera was pointed at me, all fucking six cameras, except my body cam, which was pointing where I'm looking. And Shane was standing directly in front of me.
Of course.
Which he delighted in.
I mean, I delight in it, but I do wish you would have gotten that.
And it just makes me seem like a crazy person.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, if we would have got clean footage of it, who knows? Maybe we're not sitting here, because where does the show go from there once you see a legit ghost on camera?
But they probably, like, appoint us to some new branch of the government.
That would be sick
if we got like full
be fucking cool.
Yeah.
That one stands out. Another one that stands out is when we heard the hum at Waverly Hills in the first episode of Ghost Files on Command. When we asked the lady to hum, that was another instance of like something happening on location where everyone could hear it. And whether or not you think it's a ghost, it's undeniable that there was something there for analysis.
Right.
There were a couple things that happened at this location that were far greater than the hum. Honestly, to this point, I believe that was the greatest piece of evidence we had gotten for Ghost Files.
Wow.
Yeah, like, the hum was a banger.
When we, I think the guy's name is Nuke or something. He does this thing where he'll be like, top five pieces of paranormal evidence caught like the year or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was on one of them, like the hum was. Like,
oh, hell yeah.
Thank
you, Nuke.
And I think the things we got in this place were better than that. First off, there was something in this house that I've never heard before. Like it was a piece of audio, There was a thing that happened in this room. Shane didn't hear it because we were doing, I don't know how much I want to give away.
I've got my own theory about
it. Well, what device were you using?
Yeah, don't spoil
a little bit.
We were doing the Estes method.
Yeah, so I was in the zone. Yeah.
And something happened. Shane has a theory. There's no way.
Yeah, I mean.
There's just absolutely no way.
And this was captured on camera.
Yes, so what happened was Shane had his noise-canceling headphones on. And also another thing, we can't really hear what's going on in his headphones.
Right.
The sound guy can because he's like right there. But the noise that happened in this room, it's got to be up there in the loudest things I've ever heard in a haunted
house.
I'm
so curious to hear the actual audio.
Of it. And Ben's recording the...
Did you go back and listen to it?
No, I was trying to, and Lizzie was like, we got to get out of here. And I was like, I'm trying to... I would like to react to this.
So you have the audio from the spirit box, and you have your audio.
It's not on the spirit box.
Oh, it's not. Wait, what?
This noise happened
in the room.
Oh.
And Mark and I both went, holy shit. And then I turned to Mark to be like, and I could tell just by his expression, he heard that. And I was like, you heard that, right? And he was like, yeah. And he was like, it came from that window. And so I'll leave the rest up for what we found there. But like, it was.
There's some, like,
I'm going to ask Mark about this right now. I'm very curious.
So much that even then later, some other crazy things happened and you just kept on trucking.
I was
like, how are you not more freaked out?
Oh, dude, I'm just telling. Yeah, there were a couple things later that happened that would have been like, we could build an entire episode around this one piece of evidence. But because that noise that I heard in that room was so unique and so loud, I've been doing this now. How long have we been doing Ghost?
2016?
Yeah, so like
8 years.
Eight years. There's only been a couple investigations where I had trouble sleeping after. This one, I had trouble sleeping. I didn't fall asleep till like, when the light was out,
It was genuinely, I think, and there's been shades of this in other episodes. I think this was the most freaked out you've been since like early Unsolved.
I agree. I truly was unsettled by it. Like, I lost my mind in the solo. Like,
yeah, sending you into the solo, there was more apprehension, genuine apprehension.
I actually turned around and I did say, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could do this one.
So what was your explanation for this event?
Well, it's kind of hard to...
That one
you don't know, they retold of the story.
I don't know. It's tough for me to say without...
Yeah, because he didn't hear it.
Okay.
I think, because even when he described what he heard, what he thought he heard, it was not what we heard.
I don't know. The weird thing, too, is that I don't know what was going on with the headphones when we were doing that, but I kept hearing, like, audio of you guys.
Yeah.
So it's possible, because I was theorizing that what I heard was just a weird bassy thing that maybe, but then I'm wondering if the audio from what happened in the room was, like, in the headphones in some
way. It was loud, dude. It was really loud.
Or maybe that's what I heard. I don't know.
Spirit Box has a quality that, like, that's the spirit
it's
box.
It's sort of disorienting, but
Yeah, but you also know the quality of what hearing, like, breath behind a voice and all that stuff. And first off, just voices in that fucking house. That house, you'll see it in this episode, and we're not going to reveal which episode it is, just because that'll keep you guys guessing on which one it is. But, you do all these investigations hoping you get across one like that, and, man...
How can you live with your... Sorry.
What a unicorn.
This sounds so... But,
what a unicorn.
It's just like...
How do you sleep
I can't
night?
Imagine... Sorry. It's just... This is such a... It's so funny because when me and Ryan's careers, there was a very distinct point when it diverged, right? When I started Worth It and you started Unsolved.
Yeah.
And I just can't even imagine making a show where I'm hoping to catch something once every three seasons.
Yeah.
Whereas like with food, it's like, okay, I know I'm going to go to this place. I'm going to try this delicious thing. I know it's going to
be
there.
Funny if your food show, like most episodes,
yeah,
you just got like, oh, we got a saltine.
Yeah, I think I guess that is, I suppose, the Ghost Files difference in that a lot of the show is based off telling the history of the place, the interaction, going on the adventure, and hopefully something happens. But also, I think it's the most authentic portrayal of ghost hunting to be.
Oh, absolutely.
Just because, you know, you go into these haunted houses, it's not going to be like a fucking carnival in there like everyone portrays it to be on, you know, YouTube. It's fairly boring. And sometimes you got to entertain yourself. And that doesn't mean you don't take the investigation seriously. I see a lot of people that'll, you know, for instance, not as much happened in season two. And they'll be like, what are you guys screwing around in there? And it's really more just like, we can't just put all the dead air in there of just like us waiting for things to happen. The things that are going to make it in are the things of us just having fun, because otherwise there's nothing else. Like, you know, so like that's, it is sometimes tough to be an honest ghost hunting show in that sense. I thought you were actually going to say that, why would you make a show that truly upsets you? Like, truly.
Well, that I started to understand.
Like, people will come up to me on the street and be like, you're playing it up a little bit, right, camera? Like, you're not actually that scared. I wish that was the case.
But you are, I think, interested in all of it.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that you are, you know.
No, well, what told the story for me was we were doing too many spirits at a location, and your mom was there.
Yeah.
And you guys were like getting ready for your spot, and your mom just came up and was like, yeah, for some reason Ryan just like always loved being scared as a kid. Like, he would just always like scare his brother, and he would like scare, you know, I would scare him. And I was like, oh, you scared your son when he was a child? So I don't know, maybe that's part of like why you love it so much. It's like you had it in you for so long.
Well, also, like, people have always asked me, like, and not always, more so since I was more public about my anxiety disorder, people would come up to me and be like, why would somebody with an anxiety disorder put them in a start a show where they constantly put themselves in scary situations? And I think it's because when you have an anxiety disorder, you're scared of everything in the world. So if you could be in a situation that feels somewhat controlled, like, I put myself in this situation, I know I'm going to get scared. That's why people with anxiety like scary movies, because it's controlled chaos. You're able to kind of like take some ownership of the situation, as opposed to just having everything in the world scare you. So I think that is possibly why I do it. And I don't know if it's the healthiest, because I truly am freaked the fuck out. Like, this last one, that solo was...
It's a flooper.
It was fucking rough.
It's a flooper.
It was really, really rough. I had... there was a couple times where I just couldn't even move. I was like, truly, like, I don't think I could leave this room.
Yeah.
Because I'm too scared of what's outside there.
That's funny, too, because season two solos, people were complaining about how you guys were... I saw some comments that were like, you guys were... You specifically, Ryan, didn't seem scared. But
yeah.
I think it's like you were probably so scared that you seem like you're not scared. Like, how does that work?
Well, first episode of season two, when Chill Ryan was introduced, which people either hated or liked Chill Ryan, and I think most people hated, that was actually an invention of mine to keep myself safe. Because
like
that
coping mechanism.
That place was actually really freaky, too. It was not nearly as freaky as this place, which actually plays into this place. So that place was really messed up. I did not like it there. And I knew that if I just went into the solo like I normally do, I would maybe have a heart attack. Like, I was so scared of that place. So I was like, I'm going to just make myself dead inside and just completely disassociate, essentially. And that's basically what you saw in that episode. People were not a fan of that. It was, and I get it. Like, you are tuning in to watch a show where people will wholeheartedly make themselves vulnerable in these situations. You know, why else are they watching you if you're not going to fully be there? So I understood why some people were upset about
it. It seemed like you weren't fully there, but you were fully there.
Oh, I just needed to do it to protect myself.
But you were, okay.
But that's also not very fun. Like, you know, you can't expect people to watch you if you're going to, like, do with safety rails on, you know? So,
right. It's like when I went to the Viaduct Tavern and just closed my eyes and prayed to the good Lord to save me.
You did pray to Jesus a lot. But in this place, now it's cut, you know, speed forward a year to this place. Truly one of the scariest places I've ever been. I had that episode in my mind as I was walking into the solo, because I did feel like I can't.
Because you were like,
I can't do this. And I was like, I can't bail. Yeah, I have to do it. Yeah. I have to commit. I have to completely just take off the blinders and just let whatever happens, happens. And I think because of that, a lot of shit happened during my solo that maybe wouldn't have happened.
There was that one point during the solo where I always know it's going to be great if because, you know, usually when we do our solos, the other person is parked outside of the building somewhere.
Yeah.
Sometimes really far away where you can't, but when it's a smaller building like this, we're usually like outside the front door or something doing an interview or a little further away. So you can hear the other person.
Yeah.
And I do remember you at one or two points being like, are you guys doing this?
Yeah.
Like you thought we were.
No, because there were things happening in the house. I thought they were fucking with me. And I think that was also my mind's way of being like, they must be fucking with me. This is like, otherwise, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And if you believe in the whole sort of thing of like, if you're open to it, then things, you know, ghosts will be more open to you if you believe in that. I don't know how much I believe in that, but I'll say that I went in there just like, all right, whatever happens, happens. I'm gonna fully commit and do it for the audience because I know they did not like when I just shut myself down in season two and that in that first episode. So that was heavy on my mind.
Also, something about that solo at some point, you know, because we do the interviews outside.
The building was fucking harrowing, dude.
It really was, and like, they really, it's chock full of stuff.
The history was horrific.
Yep, history's awful. But at some point, I was like, we got to be approaching 20 minutes now, right?
And oh my God, dude.
They gave me a time check. They were like, he's just coming up on 10 minutes. And I was like, wow, why does this feel so long?
Also, like, when people, sometimes people come up to me and be like, I don't know how this is just kind of turning into like a meditation on the entire experience of Ghost Files.
It was a great episode, great
but
week.
The people will often say like, oh, how long are you actually in that building alone when you do your solo? And I'm like, usually at least 20 minutes. It usually ends up being more closer to, you know, now that we have different ways to do it, 20 to 30 minutes, sometimes a little longer, like in Waverly when fucking this guy hid the walkie. That was like a 45 minute ordeal. And when I say 20 minutes, sometimes people will be like, well, it's not even that long. And I'm like, that's what you think. And the only
start
way
start your timer right now.
The only way you could really feel how long 20 minutes actually is do a plank and do it for 1 minute. And tell me that minute does not feel like the longest fucking minute of your entire life. Now imagine just doing that for 20 minutes. That's how the time stretches in your mind.
Now, not to brag or anything, but I have done a plank for 2.5 minutes before. So, I doubt it. No big deal. No big deal there.
I mean, we already saw me do a plank after I downed a tiki drink in food files.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was an extremely unpleasant experience. I'll never go back again.
I'm actually like genuinely so happy for you guys. Like,
it was really fun.
We were
ecstatic afterwards.
Oh, dude, I was happy to leave.
Because we've just been to so many places where not a lot happens.
Yeah, not
so
as
when
active
you go to a
night,
place and it's like, yeah, there's a lot going on here. Yeah. Afterwards, we're like, we have confidence in this episode.
No,
what a thrill.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Yeah. I'm very excited. And it's the first episode we shot this season, too.
Yeah, so riding high.
I even remember saying to Shane, like, damn, I wonder if people will be suspicious of this episode.
We did entertain that. We were, especially, you know, we're always talking about how, how, you know, candid we are with people. And we are, but it does seem too good to be true.
And it also is convenient because I just said I was offended that people were not accusing us of fabricating evidence because it would be too good. And I think this might be the first episode where people accuse us of some things.
Yeah,
it would be funny if one episode per season you guys just faked all the evidence, and then
it would not be funny, Steven. It would not be funny.
When is your next shoot again?
Oh my god! I mean, look, maybe this is the season of bangers where every episode is just going to be fucking crazy like that.
That would be real sus.
Well,
that would be suspect.
Should we change the name of the show to Ghost Bangers?
No,
I would think Banger Files.
Okay. No. Oh, Banger Files.
Banger Files probably even worse. but anyways,
Ghost Bangers could be our street name, you know, if just the real fans know that we're the Ghost Bangers.
Who's all this goo? Ghost Bangers are here.
Ghost Bangers
are here. Apparently the ghosts over in the UK, though, are very real and very loud, so you guys are going to probably have a banger season.
I mean, yeah. I'm sure everyone in that neighborhood heard me screaming during my solo.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Banger Files.
It could be a good season.
Anyways, I think we've rambled on enough here.
Oh, it's been a treat. And look forward to that. Boys, it's been a pleasure.
Good times, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us on Pod Watcher. If you watch this episode on youtube.com/watcherpodcast, remember to like and subscribe. And if you listen to this bad boy in your car after you get home, go ahead and subscribe and leave us a
They listen to their car after they get home? They pull into the driveway?
No, I'm saying listen to your
Time
car.
For an hour with
and
the
no, like, no, like after you get home, we'll it does help week. Us keep the show alive. Thank you very much.
We'll see you next week, everybody.